Puppet of morning to ya.
I'm Anna.
And I'm Josh.
And this is The Rooney Cast. The Rooney Cast is a podcast discussing the works and adaptations of Irish author Sally Rooney. From her first novel, Conversations with Friends, to the phenomenon that is Normal People, we will analyze the complex relational machinations of these many emotionally unavailable 20-somethings.
So fantastic. So fantastic to be back in the studio again.
Woo!
Talking about our favorite author, Sally Rooney.
Okay. On the first episode of the Rooney Cast, we discussed episodes 1 through 6 of Normal People, the Hulu TV adaptation, and we discussed whether the characters are in love, what that love is like, how complicated it is. We discussed how kind of toxic some parts of their relationship are and how their family relations play in to their love map. I think that's the word for it.
So true. Love map.
Mm-hmm.
God knows anyone needs a map to understand all the complex lovemaking happening in the show.
Maybe Normal People would be better off if they actually had physical maps, because there's a lot of weird things that happen.
So true. If Connell could just watch the entire show before it happened, and I think he would make a lot better choices. If he just knew all of his little fuck-ups.
I think there, like, wouldn't be a show anymore, because it would just end after episode 1.
So true.
And they would just talk it through.
So true. Speaking of which, another crucial moment happens in episodes 6 and 7 of Normal People, and that is Connell and Marianne break up because of a misunderstanding. Classic Connell move right there.
Dun, dun, dun. What was this misunderstanding, Josh?
Basically, Connell loses his job and has no money to pay rent, but he has a very clear out, a very clear solution, because he's already spending a lot of time with Marianne at her flat. He could just ask to live with her for a few months to finish exams and then go home, like his original plan was. But he is too anxious and fumbles and kind of just suggests that they should break up. And they do break up because he is confused and sad.
Yeah. So all he really needed was a place to stay, but he could no longer afford rent at his old apartment. And so he went back to Sligo, where they're from, the little town in Ireland. And he worked as a grocery store clerk, checkout person, and unbeknownst to everyone, Marianne walks in the door, and she's like, what the hell? You're working here? And he's like, yeah, I needed money for the summer, and she was like, oh, okay, you could have told me that.
So much of this show could have just been circumvented had the communication been clearer, which is cute when you first watch it, I suppose, but man.
Gets old fast.
Gets old fast. But that's sort of that's the crux of episode 7, just a lot of confused vibes and kind of straightening things out. And eventually they're able to mend their friendship, even though they start seeing other people very quickly, which is, I guess, college life. That's 20, life in your 20s, right?
Yeah, definitely. Another crucial point in that episode actually happens where Connell kind of has a drunken encounter with a dude, and this other dude kind of fights him, and Connell gets mugged, which is highly unfortunate. I believe he also gets punched in the face.
He does.
Yeah.
He does.
It's really sad. Shout out to the makeup artists in Normal People. They did a really good job. Does that happen in Sligo? It doesn't happen in Sligo.
No,
that happens in Trinity.
Yeah, they return to Dublin, and then and they're celebrating because they just got through, they got through the skulls or whatever.
Oh, yeah. I think that wraps up episode 7. Just a lot of confused mix-ups, lack of conversation, lack of communication, and yeah, okay.
We are now getting to perhaps the magnum opus of the show, episode 8. We don't want to waste any more of your time, because episode 8 is this fun little Call Me By Your Name-esque adventure through Italy. Connell, because he's in the Skulls program now, he's got a lot more money, so he has the means to go backpacking around Europe, and then he and his friend meet up with Marianne and her new boyfriend, Jamie. in a quaint little Italian villa.
Yeah. Point of, or FYI, the Skulls program is just like a scholarship program that gives you, they pay for your tuition and a couple, like other, and accommodation for the rest of your college experience, so you don't have to worry about affording college, and they just want you to focus on like your education. So I think it's totally based on academic merit, but both Marianne and Connell get it. So
that's wild. That's wild. That'd be nice.
That would be nice. Shout out UW. I think you should do that. Cool. Yeah. Okay, so yeah. Marianne invited all of these friends from college to her family's Italian vacation home because that is who Marianne is. And they have the time of their lives just sitting out next to the pool, drinking some wine and eating some fruit. It's pretty much what happens. They bike. A lot.
They eat ice cream.
They do eat ice cream.
And they have a fun little discussion about money. And I think Connell's like, so is this what it all comes down to, having money? And, you know, maybe the man's got a point. Maybe having money isn't such a bad thing. He's able to enjoy all these things specifically because he doesn't have to worry about it. And it was all because he had to worry about money in the first place that he and Marianne broke up. So, you know, it's kind of a strange...
Money's at the crux of all of these problems.
So true, so true.
Okay, so as Josh mentioned, the Backpacking Italy episode comes with a lot of emotions. It also is a mashup of Call Me By Your Name and Sally Rooney's first novel, Conversations with Friends. And if you want to hear more about Conversations with Friends, check back to episode 3, where we will be discussing the Hulu adaptation of Conversations with Friends. So that's going to be great.
So exciting. So exciting to see more content for us to absorb.
And for you to learn about. So cute.
So true.
Episode 8 has a very emotional scene where all of the friends are surrounded at this, they're eating on the patio, they're having a moment, they're all talking, and then Jamie, Marianne's boyfriend, who's also the big jerk of the show, the devil, per se, he's very drunk, and he starts asking Marianne all these questions about, like, why she gets so upset when he drinks a lot, and when he grabs dishes and starts to break them. And you can tell as audience members that these dishes are very important to Marianne. And you can glean that they're like hand-me-downs from her father, who's never in the show. And there's a lot of tension there. So like these physical objects are like in memoriam to her father. And so she gets very pissed at Jamie for breaking them and drinking. And yeah, it's a whole sitch.
Mediating the situation, I suppose. Helping Marianne calm down. And eventually it comes to this point where Marianne is like, I don't want to sleep in the same room as Jamie. And then Connell's like, well, you could sleep in my room. And there's a very funny shot of the two of them undressed and ready for bed, and they're just kind of staring at each other. And it's this wide shot of just the two of them looking awkwardly at each other. Of course, naturally, they're sleeping in the same bed. There's tension there, and they almost sleep with each other.
But they don't.
Who stops? Who says no? Who says this is a bad idea? It's Marianne, isn't it?
I think so.
Because Connell's with girlfriend.
They're both together.
What a mess. People. What a mess. But if that doesn't show the complicated turns and struggles of love.
What does?
Anyhow, that brings us into perhaps the most confusing episode of the show, episode 9, a.k.a.
Sweden!
Yes, Marianne takes a fun little study abroad trip to Sweden where she is sad and she meets this guy named...
Lucas,
who is kind of manipulative, and she puts herself in very strange
exposing situations, both metaphorically and physically. Yeah, I think this is the episode that if you weren't invested in the show, this is a total skip episode. You can skip this episode and you will miss absolutely nothing. You will actually probably be better off for it.
In the book, it's one chapter. It's literally a one-off chapter in the book about how Marianne is in Sweden and she's getting her pictures taken with this guy that she's unsure of. And that's literally all it contributes. And it is stretched out to a half-hour episode. 1/12 of this show's runtime is dedicated to that one chapter of the book.
I forgot it even happened in the book. Like, I have no memory of ever reading that in the book. But apparently they claim the show follows the book to a T, so it must have happened, and I probably just skipped over the chapter. I was like, this is ridiculous.
It is a little out of place, and it was out of place to me in the book because it sort of came out of nowhere, and it was just, it seemed like just another way to punch down at Marianne when I first read the book, because she was already having a tough time with Jamie, and then now you turn the page and it turns out, oh, she's in Sweden. Oh, she's dealing with this new guy that's kind of weird and manipulative and is putting her in these really exposing situations. Huh. And then the next chapter and it's like, oh.
She's back.
She's back.
Happy do.
Yeah.
I think the main point of why they included this kind of strange, rather odd episode in the show is just to like get to the deep layers of Marianne's emotional trauma and some like mental health challenges that she's going through at the time. This episode is filled with like moments of like deep despair and some depressive episodes for Marianne. She very much questions her body image and her, I guess, meaning in life, like who she wants in a partner. She doesn't feel like she's good enough for anyone, so she doesn't really care if they're manipulative because she doesn't think she deserves anything. This photographer, we forgot to mention that he's a photographer, but yes, Lucas is a photographer. He takes kind of weird, very exposed pictures of Marianne, first with her consent, but then at the end, it's very much not of her consent, and that's a topic that is presented in the show and just how consent matters. I think this episode definitely goes to the depths of who these characters are internally and their emotional challenges, but it was done in a really weird way.
No, definitely. And it's interesting that you mentioned sort of that this is Marianne's episode to explore how she feels and work through her emotions. But what sort of, at least what I took away from it, and we'll get to Connell's whole depressive...
Similar episode, yes,
which is the next one. But I feel like Connell very much got that resolution of how he felt and how he got to a place of being okay. Whereas with Marianne, we just saw her sort of at her worst and kind of just... like, she kind of just accepted it, like, and it's sort of reflected in later episodes that she's just kind of okay with where she's at.
She kind of accepted that this is, like, the dark side of her and that this is inside of her and she can't, like, move past it. So she's just going to move on and work with it, which I wouldn't say is the most healthy way to live, but nothing about this normal people-esque show is that healthy.
Our copy chief, Madison Morgan, made a joke that the show should be called Straight People, and I agree wholeheartedly.
It would be a better title. Sally Rooney, if you're listening, please rename your show.
That can be the name of the sequel.
Yeah.
Straight People.
Straight People.
Yes.
Brought to you for Friends of Normal People.
Just give us a shout out.
So to round out episode 9, Marianne actually gets back from Sweden, and the reason that she comes back from Sweden, or just around the same time coincidentally, is because one of Connell's best mates in high school dies from suicide. Okay, so I believe what was his name?
Rob.
So Rob dies suddenly and Connell is crushed and Marianne comes back from Sweden and attends the funeral. And this is like the first time that anyone from Sligo has seen Marianne since high school and the first time that Connell has seen Marianne since she studied abroad. I think everyone can tell that Marianne's had a really, like, tough, raw, emotional year. She just looks degraded and in despair. All the D words I can think of. Right? She does, though.
Yeah, she's in...
She's in the depths of despair.
She's in a rough spot, definitely. Yeah.
I think it might be... I know it isn't supposed to look this way, but there is some weird symbolism between the episode ending at a funeral and Marianne coming home from this very challenging period in her life. And I think it's just a way for everyone to restart and for the show to just, like, go back to the next sequence in their lives.
Yes. And the next sequence is Connell being terribly depressed for, like, the rest of the show, kind of.
Yep.
He's in a rough spot. Connell is in quite a rough spot. And he starts seeing a therapist at the behest of Niall?
Yes, one of his roommate from his first year of college and one of his, like, good buds.
With whom he went backpacking with.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, you should just get therapy because it's free.
So shout out to free healthcare. If anyone in the U.S. legislature is listening, yeah, free healthcare. Love it. We want it. Thank you very much.
Yes. But anyhow, the scenes with Connell in therapy with his therapist, they're very emotional. I think those scenes are what got Paul Mescal nominated for Best Actor at the Emmys.
It is his actual... They've listed that his monologue in that episode, in episode 10, was a pivotal point.
It is an amazingly raw and honest performance. And I think it really, I remember when I first watched it, I was very caught up in not just the emotion, but also the message, how he talks about how he wasn't happy with the person he was as an adolescent. So he went away hoping to find himself, but he ended up hating that just as much, if not more. But since he's gone away and since all these people have left his life, he can't be the person he was. So there's, to him, it feels like there's nothing really left. And I could definitely relate to that as someone who goes to college out of state. Sometimes I think back to the times I had in high school. And while I would never want to go back, I know that the people that I knew then, the experiences that I had, none of that can really be replicated now. And whenever I go home, I do feel a sense of melancholy almost, looking back on those times, but also knowing that they're sort of impossible to go back to.
Yeah. I think that is, like, a common feeling going from high school to and transitioning to college, whether you go to a state school or not. You're just pushed out of your comfort zone when you're away from your hometown and all the people that you've known your entire life. Even if you know some people at college, you're still forced to, like, figure out who you actually want to be friends with and not just out of convenience. I think this episode, especially Connell's moments in therapy in that monologue, it also, one of the themes cuts to toxic masculinity and how Connell is seen crying and just, like, expressing his emotions in a healthy manner towards, like, this therapist. And I have hardly ever, if ever, remember a scene that's so long and so, like, raw with men discussing, like, the trials and tribulations of growing up in a healthy manner.
Definitely. I remember watching that, and I was just really impressed with Paul Mescal's performance, not just because of, well, the writing is great, of course, and he's putting on such a great performance, I suppose, but the way they don't cut away from it and the way that it's very much in his face, and he is really crying, like, he's ugly crying.
Yeah.
You don't see that a lot, but everyone ugly cries sometimes. Sometimes it's just...
It builds up.
It builds up, and it's the only way your body knows how to get things out. And it's clear that he was sleeping on this for a very long time. And yeah, just a great, great episode. Well, okay. He kind of unceremoniously dumps slash is dumped by Helen, his new girlfriend, because he's just very emotionally distant. And I don't blame the guy, but also the way he treated her
was bad.
It's bad. It's not good. It's kind of problematic, especially considering how close he continued to be with Marianne through all of it. Like, I get that he was going through this extreme mental health crisis, but also
he didn't go about it the best way. He definitely is not by any means the worst dude in this show, but he definitely had his moments in where he didn't really understand or have the capabilities to treat people with the kindness that they deserved.
The nicest guy in the show. That's kind of a low bar.
It is.
To not be the worst person, the worst guy in the show.
Yeah.
There's one more scene in this episode I do want to mention.
Yes.
So now that Connell, when T's a member of the Skulls, not only is his tuition taken care of, his housing's also taken care of. So he's in this kind of
bare bones,
stark room, mostly by himself. And what he does is he often Skype calls Marianne to keep him company, and they talk and they hang out. And one night, Connell just gets tired, and they're on Skype, and then Marianne's like, oh, why don't you just, let's just stay on the call. Like, I'll stay on so I can watch you, and then you can just go to his bed. And they do it. Those two actually do it. They're on Skype all night, and when Connell wakes up, his little camera's pointed perfectly at his face, and then Marianne's still on the other line, and I guess she's been studying the whole night. And so she's like,
All-nighter vibes.
And she's like, good morning. And he's like, oh, hi. And I'm like, that was so
That's hard.
That's extra. But still very interesting. I guess that reflects on who they are as people and how close, but also how strange and interesting their dynamic has become over these few years.
I've never really thought of it this way until right now, but it is kind of strange that in order to feel like connected to anyone, they have to be, in some ways, not that they're always together, but in some ways they are emotionally codependent on each other in order to like form emotions and relationships with anyone else. They first have their relationship with each other has to be good, and to just be a person and a full person, they are dependent on each other for that support, which is nice to have, but it's not entirely healthy in the long run.
No, definitely. These two are a strange little pairing that I think only works with each other, which I guess is, that's relationships, I guess, to a certain extent with everyone. There's just another person who you work the best with. But with those two, it really only seems like they click with each other in a way that's very special and very unique, and just between the two of them, but also in a way that doesn't really seem to leave the door open for anyone else.
It doesn't lend itself to strong adult relationships. The connection they have is very much rooted in like young adulthood, and I just don't see, I think it would be very difficult to extend beyond the high school, college atmosphere. But what do I know? I'm in college.
Exactly.
We're in college.
That's literally your perception of the world, though.
I know. There you go.
We're going to wrap up the last two episodes in one big talk, because they're basically cut from the same cloth. The penultimate episode is set back in Sligo, and it involves Marianne and Connell sort of working through where they are in their friendship and how they feel about each other, and trying to tackle these really strange histories that they now have with each other while still trying to remain friends. And it is abundantly clear that they are not still just friends, but they've changed so much that it's almost like they don't click for a second.
Yeah, they have to relearn, like, re-know each other.
Exactly. They're more awkward in the sex scene in this episode than they are in their very first sex scene together, which I think is really interesting. It's kind of tragic because it speaks to all the crap they had to go through. But, yeah, they're, like you said, they're relearning it.
It's almost like in episode 11 and 12, so the last two episodes of the show, they have grown so much as people that they are now, like, half, like, most adult versions of themselves that they have been in the show, which totally makes sense based on their age. But also, they're kind of trying to live in this high school world, which I think every college student or most college students can relate to when you go back to your hometown and you're surrounded by everything that you grew up with, but you're no longer that person who used to live there and experience those things. So now you're just like, I don't fit in anywhere. It's weird. That's a lot of what, like, these last two episodes are. They're in their, like, childhood homes, but they're more like these adult figures, and they're just trying to understand who they are and who each other are. And so it lends to some really awkward and some very difficult moments.
Yeah. Like when Marianne's brother punches her or throws her into a wall, what happens?
I think he throws her into a wall.
He breaks her nose in any regard, but... Yeah.
Marianne, we discussed on our first episode of the Rooney cast that Marianne's brother is very abusive towards her, Marianne and her mother. And this kind of tension just escapes and explodes in episode 11. And it's this very violent fight scene. And Connell comes sort of to the rescue. Marianne calls him and it's kind of, they have a heart-to-heart, and Connell finally realizes the struggles that Marianne has hid deep because he didn't really understand how abusive the family relationships Marianne had with her mother and with her brother were until, like, this moment. So it's good for Connell to finally understand the stress that Marianne's been going through instead of just assuming that she has it all good because of her money.
It's kind of weird that it took him this long to realize that.
Yeah, but I feel like it did.
It did. It was probably because Marianne was, in a way, hiding it from, I think, everyone.
Yeah. And herself, I think.
Yeah. Wasn't a fan of how Connell sort of came to the rescue. It just doesn't seem to me like he's that person. And at least, I think in the book it covered it really well, because he, quote, comes to the rescue in the book. But it's very explicitly clear how he is on the verge of a panic attack the entire time. Like, he doesn't really remember any of it because he's just so nervous and he's just trying to be this really strong guy. But in his heart, he knows that that's not him. And I don't feel like the show really reflected that in a way that was very clear.
That's true. I agree with that.
Yeah. It was just interesting with how it was portrayed and everything. But
okay. Well, not to move directly off that point, but to round out episode 12 and our normal people segment of the Rooney cast, not much happens in episode 12 except the main communication crux that the show has been based on, where they can't tell each other what they want, that everyone understands. I swear, every person who I've talked to that has read Normal People, they're like, wow, that ending sucked. And I'm like, yeah, because this entire show was based on how these people couldn't communicate with each other. So obviously it was going to end that way.
Again, Connell kind of messing up and not telling people what's happening. And he gets accepted into this MFA program in New York. And he's like, oh, crap. I'm in a relationship, a fairly committed relationship at that, with this person who I've had so many emotional tribulations with throughout the years, but now we're finally in a good place, and now I need to go to New York. So he debates not going for a bit, but Marianne's like, hey, just, it's what you want. Just do it. And he's like, what's going to happen to us? And she's like, ah, we'll find out. And I think that's really the takeaway of the whole thing. We'll find out.
Life happens. You just gotta go with it.
Do you think they end up back together?
I don't think they end. So, I don't... In episode 12, it is Marianne and Connell's healthiest point in the show. They are the most, like, committed, like, healthy relationship they've been in. But I think they're not a cutesy couple by any means throughout the entire show. And I think that the basis of their relationship, though it didn't start out as friendship, is just like this deep emotional connection with someone who I don't believe that they end up together like romantically, except for like one-offs and flings. But I don't think they're going to be in a committed romantic relationship, but I hope for their sake that they stay in touch. Yeah. And I'd be fine with that.
Yeah. When I first saw the show and it ended like that, I just assumed, oh yeah, they'll probably get back together. And I still, to a certain extent, believe that. I don't think this is by any means is the end of their time together. I do think either they'll make this work, or if they don't, then they'll still be in touch and they'll still probably come back into each other's lives later on. They're so intertwined and, like you said, codependent to a certain extent that they'll always just circle back around. And I do think that whatever happens, like, do they have to stay together forever?
No.
The time they had was unique, but I would say some of it was good. And I think that's the most important part.
Yeah. They can hold those experiences forever in their hearts.
Precisely.
Okay, I think that wraps up Normal People. A lot of broad, big, deep themes happening in this book. Thank you, Sally Rooney, for letting us see inside your imagination. On the next episode, we will be talking about Conversations with Friends, as I mentioned. Conversations with Friends is my favorite Sally Rooney book. I have a strong connection with that book. I read it second, which is, I swear, what most people do. Normal People get so much hype, but it's the second book, and then everyone goes back after reading Normal People to read Conversations with Friends, and I think it's better.
We'll leave that for the next time.
Yeah.
We'll find out.
Cliffhanger.
Tune in next time to find out why Anna thinks Conversations with Friends is better than Normal People.
There you go.
I don't even know. I'll find out soon. All right, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode of the Rooneycast. Listen to us next time for another rundown of our favorite Irish author.